As we prepare our hearts to hear the Word of God, we've heard the entire psalm read. I've got two questions to give to you for your examination and thought as we move through the message this morning. The first question is, what gives you joy? If you had to answer that question, how long would your list be? What gives you joy? You ever had something in your life that used to give you joy has no meaning to you anymore? What gives you joy? Second question is, what do you want? What do you want? That's a question I often use in a counseling context. Where someone's got a life that they're asking for to listen to godly counsel from the Word of God. And the question I always like to interject there somewhere in the discussion is, what is it you want? What gives you joy? What do you want? The sermon I've entitled here this morning, you've heard it read, that message about not fretting and to delight in the Lord. And I almost went with, don't worry, be happy. But I think that kind of trivializes things, don't you? So I've entitled the message, Delight and Desire. Delight and desire. And we'll focus on the first few verses of this psalm, particularly Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. I think this answers those two questions. What gives, or it can, what gives you joy, and what do you want? You've heard that expression, be careful what you ask for. I was reminded this morning when I'm thinking through this message is, when I was a little boy, maybe 8, 9 years old, I was reminded of this the other day. Sharon, she bought this, one of these things, they send you this whole meal in the mail, and you prepare, you know, like the ingredients, some kind of fresh thing. I've been kind of enjoying those things. And one of these meals had a little green pepper in that thing, about that long. And I was reminded when I looked at that pepper, I said, that's the kind of pepper my daddy used to eat. And when I was about an 8 or 9 year old boy, I wanted to eat one of those peppers. And he looked at me, he said, son, you can't handle that pepper. That pepper's not for you. And I normally would eat something like a piece of banana pepper or something that wasn't hot while he ate his hot peppers. It was a South Carolina meal. Butter beans and rice and green pepper. I mean, that was just the way it went. So as a little boy, I said, I can do it, I can do it. So over his protest, more than once, I ate one of those little tiny green peppers. And I thought I was going to die. I couldn't get that stuff out of my mouth. I was trying to wash it down, but the trick is to eat some bread or something behind it. But it was wild. So the other night, when I ate that pepper, I cut that thing up into little bitty pieces, scattered it all through that meal. But I could tell every bite that had one of them little tiny pieces, it was powerful. And sometimes the most attractive things to us that we think our hearts want will hurt us immensely. It's almost like we can't get free from it. We can't get loose. So be careful what you ask for. Delight and desire. Here's our main idea this morning. The difference in a faithful and a fretful person can be found in the object of their delight and the pursuit of their desire, the difference. And I think this whole psalm is the contrast of a fretful person and a faithful person, because the psalmist David, I think older in years, is telling and giving some wisdom, being inspired through the Holy Spirit, of something even we to this very day can take to heart and think, wow, I never saw it that way. The difference in a faithful and a fretful person. A fretful person, you know what I'm talking about? Over and over in this passage is, do not fret, do not fret, do not fret. This is in this translation. But someone who frets is just constantly worried about their lives. And often they'll compare their life to the life of other people. And this is kind of where all this contrast is. And you see how it is even in our culture. Not even in biblical times, but in our culture, we see people that are really seem to be living any way they want to live, and there seems to be no justice in the way that they're acting. And the psalmist, the Holy Spirit too, is reminding us that the Lord knows what's going on. And over you'll see the praise, do not fret, but you also see, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. So the difference in that faithful and the fretful person can be found in the object of their delight, what it is that gives them joy, and the pursuit of their desire. Basically, what it is they really want. And often, I found this to be the case, when someone is really struggling with some kind of thing that's dominating their life, when they can answer the question, I really want this. And when they can turn from that thing that's dominating their, I don't want that anymore. But you've got to have something that's a contrast to that. Something that's a comparative thing that says, this is better than that. The difference in the faithful, fretful person found in the object of their delight, the pursuit of their desire. So focus in on with me, if you will, on verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord. Now just stop there a minute and think about that phrase. What does that really mean? There's not many words there, but there's a whole lot of meaning. Delight yourself in the Lord. Because we all want the Lord to give us our desires, right? We want the Lord to bless us, whatever blessing, however you define that. We've got whole faith movements that have sprouted up about God knows your heart and He'll give you the desires of your heart. But there's something here that prefaces what God wants to give us, is to delight yourself in the Lord. What's the meaning of that? Let's look at that, explore that with me a little bit. To delight yourself in the Lord, this is point number one. To delight yourself in the Lord, you must truly be in the Lord. In the Lord. It's almost like there's a supernatural arrangement here. You must be in the Lord. I think you've got three sub-points here. You must be supernaturally connected is number one. This is how you delight yourself in the Lord. You first got to be in the Lord. Because so many people are trying to find joy in God that they do not know God on a personal level, to where we can hear Him speak when we read His Word, where we've even got that desire to want to do that. To delight yourself in the Lord, first you must be truly in the Lord, must be supernaturally connected. You must be born by the Spirit of God. And when that comes upon a human being, you don't want what you used to want. You've got those desires that are really competing with what God wants us to have, what God's desires are, and there's a war begins to happen. All of a sudden, you're awakened to your place in life where you're saying, I have been apart from the Lord. I wanted nothing to do with Him. And my life is at this place where I cannot find any peace. It's totally unraveling. must be supernaturally connected to be in the Lord, must be born again. Jesus told that to a man. The man he was talking to, Nicodemus, couldn't have known any more of the Word of God than he did. Jesus called him the teacher. He was a big deal. So imagine Jesus talking to a seminary professor. And he looks at him right in the eye and says, "You must be born again. For unless you're born again, you will not see the kingdom of God." So to delight yourself in the Lord, you must truly be in the Lord, supernaturally connected. Secondly, you must be supremely contented in Him. I must be contented with God. I must stop with my trying to substitute other things to give me something that I want. That's sometimes it's not even defined. We're not even talking about it. But it's not God. God's not enough for us. Listen to me. To be in the Lord means to be supremely contented. You have found there is nothing that compares to human living than to be in the Lord. And to be in Him means to be with Him. I want to spend time with Him. Now, I'll confess to you, and I've told you some of my personal story, but I'll confess to you, sometimes in my marriage with Miss Sharon, I haven't always delighted in her. You understand what I mean? And I'm sure that's one of them vice versa kind of things too. She hadn't always been delighted in me. There's been times where we didn't want to be in the same room with one another. Have y'all had times like that? Do you understand what I'm saying? But if I want to have this relationship with her and have to cultivate, I can't remain in that condition. There has to be some reconciliation. And I must find that, and I'm going to just tell you now, if the Lord allows us to live another few days here in October, in October the 16th, we'll celebrate another wedding anniversary. And over the years, there have been times I may have not wanted to be in the same room, but I'll tell you right now, and I'll tell her. Over the years, any other woman I'll throw rocks at. You understand what I'm saying? There's no comparison, is what I'm trying to say. I'm supremely contented with her. And anytime I find myself at odds with her, if I'm examining my heart, it usually boils down to, what am I wanting? What is it that I want? And I think it translates that way with God. Because if we're supremely contented with Him, we will be in Him. Without this contentment, without that operating in your life, your delight will become drudgery. You may have tasted the delight of the Lord. You may have tasted that relationship at one time and saw how good it is, but life's kind of caved in around you. And things, you think the Lord has allowed this to happen. Why wasn't He watching my back? Why wasn't He helping me? But without that contentment operating, that delight will fade into something called drudgery. And I see this a lot. I see this when people begin to withdraw away from God and God's people. They'll begin to shrink back and pull back. And that delight will become drudgery. The relationship will become a ritual. After a while, we'll tell ourselves it really doesn't matter and it really doesn't have any great meaning. A faithful person will become a fretful person. We'll begin to think about, well, so-and-so, he doesn't even know God. Just look at his life, man. Look how they're prospering. And we look at things in a limited fashion. We look at things according to what we can see and know in this world. But God's telling us here, don't spend your time making those comparisons. Because a fretful person will become envious of another person. The Word of God says where you'll see envy, you'll see every evil thing. When you see people want what so-and-so has or jealous of something going on in that person's life, they'll begin to have some anger begin to boil up. And right here in verse 8, he says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It all leads only to evil doing. So you see, you've got to be contented with the Lord God Almighty. It doesn't get any better than a relationship with Him. It does not. And so many people are operating as if, well, if I do the right things, God will be pleased with me. Listen, that cross tells me God is pleased with me. If I believe that Jesus died for my sin, and if I can come to there, and I can totally surrender to God, that I want to be in Him, I want to be supernaturally connected, if I can understand that. So we're supernaturally connected, we're supremely contented, and there has to be in the Lord, there has to be a satisfaction of godly desires. You've got to be acting on some desires that come from God Himself. And this is what He promises here. If you'll delight yourself in the Lord, if you'll learn what that means, and begin to live like He desires us to live, He'll give you the desires of your heart. But here's the thing that changes everything. When we are in Him, when we are enmeshed in Him, when we're spiritually and supernaturally connected in Him, we will want what He wants. There will be a transference of desire. When I'm in Him, He gives me His desire. If you start reading the Psalms, I mean, if you ever wonder, where do I read in my Bible? And you just want to start worshiping God. If you want to learn how to get in Him. If you want to learn how to delight in Him. And you start reading the Word of God. These Psalms, I think, are a worship manual. And the things about the Psalms, they're so real. You'll see psalmists that are extolling the great virtues of God and psalmists that are asking God some hard questions. And God's not scared of that. You'll see the struggle human to human. Why do the wicked prosper? And you'll see struggles human to God. But if you open up the Psalms to Psalm number 1, And you're seeing the righteous man and the wicked man contrasted. Psalm number 1 says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Makes a difference where you spend your time, where you spend your life. But his delight, what? Is in the what? Law of the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. People are struggling around these days trying to figure out what that means. What does it mean, Pastor, to delight myself in the Lord? Get in the Word of God. The law of the Lord. Wait a minute. I thought the Lord Jesus freed us from the law. The Lord Jesus satisfied the law. The Lord Jesus fulfilled the law. But He said, I did not come to abolish it. See, God has a plan and a purpose for this Word of God. It says, teach us how to live rightly and to understand that that will bring you into a relationship with God. The Word of God brings us there. The Spirit of God births us there. His delight is in the law of the Lord. It pleases, it gives Him great pleasure to be in the Lord and knowing what pleases the Lord. So that's my point number 1. To delight yourself in the Lord, you must truly be in the Lord. Supernaturally connected, supremely contented, and satisfaction of godly desires. Point number 2, only the pursuit of godly desires can lead us to the possession of eternal life. You see, eternal life is not just something that we just claim. Eternal life is something we can inherit, he says here. You can inherit it. Because somebody died to give that to you. Only the pursuit of godly desires can lead us to possession of eternal life. All other desires, whether human-centered or come from the enemy, all the other desires that oppose godly desires will lead you to death. Destruction is promised. It's promised. Well, Pastor Sam, don't we have things that are good, inherently good? I mean, it's not evil. Yeah. But it's only good if it comes from God, and it will be used for God's purpose. I love creation, the creation account, and God made this, and he declared it good. God makes good stuff. He makes good stuff. We look out into this world and we see material things that break down and waste away and wear away. And I think we're getting a really good picture in our culture these days about the things, the intangible things that are good. How they stand out in this world. What a man or a woman or a boy and girl says, and it's true, and they mean it, and they do good. These things are coming from God. But so often the ways of this world, and especially in our culture, is like, don't worry, say what you have to say to get what you want. Only the pursuit of godly desires can lead us to possession of eternal life. All other desires will lead you to a death sentence. When we're talking about delight and desires, listen to this scripture in Genesis chapter 3. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. She gave also to her husband, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. Immediately, they began a flawed human attempt to cover their sin. Because she believed the lie. She believed that the source of truth she was listening to proved to be a liar. Who will you believe today about your life? Who will you believe when you're trying to answer these questions? What gives you joy? Don't trust yourself. Don't trust your emotions. What do you want? Can you even define it? What is it that kind of a person do you want to be? What do you delight in? What are you desirous of? I find it fascinating that the root of all our problems began in Genesis 3 with those two words, delight and desire. They had it all before them. That everything they could have ever wanted. And then the voice of another caused them to turn away from the Word of God. I can't hear that anymore. I'm listening to this. Today I want to come back to this. What gives you joy? What do you want? You tired of living like a fretful believer? Spend some time with this psalm today. List out all the ways that you are fretful. that you are worried about something. And list all the ways in this passage, in this psalm right here, that God promises something better. The difference in a faithful, fretful person can be found in the object of their delight and the pursuit of their desires. What do you delight in? What desires are you chasing? Won't you pray with me? Lord, we praise your name today. We thank you for loving us the way you do. There is none like you. So if we still don't know whether we can be satisfied with you or not, we won't find any other satisfaction. Because whether we're in bondage to any of the world's systems or substances or just our own selves, what it is that we want, whatever it'll take to satisfy us, whatever we find our joy in, though it be fleeting and momentary, it will have to get bigger and bigger and bigger until it leads us to a place that is beyond us and it's dominating us. Lord, you're the only being that it will take all of eternity to come to know. So we praise your name today. And we're thankful that we can come and bow before you. And we know that you are sufficient to meet our every need. You are good. You are good. And if we're experiencing something less than that today, at this moment, this can be our turnaround moment, where we turn from the wicked way to God's way. We praise you. We ask you to encourage us to come to pray, to deal with you today. Before we come to this table, give us a place where you turn our hearts back to you. But part of that's still our responsibility. To say, no, I will not be desiring of this thing that leads me to death, not another minute. I want all of what God can give me, and I want it now. And I will act upon these things that this psalm lies out. It lays them out there. It tells us how to be in you. It tells us to trust you. It tells us that to give our path over to you, to surrender that to you, and you will accomplish it. And that doesn't mean we just stand idly by. You within us begin to move us through life, helping us with decisions we don't know what to do, helping us with situations that threaten to sink us, helping us, oh God, to understand that you are our help and our hope, and there is none like you. We can't self-help our way out of this pit that we're in sometimes. We can't do it. We need a hand that reaches down, just like the psalm says. There's one portion in there where if we're falling, you're the one holding our hand. You keep us from falling headlong. You raise us up. Lord, we need to take heart in that. We're like a parent that's reaching down to hold on to the uplifted hand of their child, and when they stumble, to keep them from falling. Lord, we need you.